And now, our speaker of the hour, Brother Thomas F. Eve, Sr.
Our lesson this evening will be taken from the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, beginning in verse 9. In this passage of Scripture, we have an incident that takes place from which we can glean several lessons. Hopefully, lessons that will be beneficial to us as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 18, verse 9, Jesus, "And he spake unto also this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and set all others at naught. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice the week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be thou merciful to me, a sinner. I say unto you, this man," that is the publican, "went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that shall exalt or exalteth himself shall be humbled, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Now in this parable we have a story, a parable of two men, two prayers, and two different results. The occasion for this parable is identified for us in verse 9, where the Bible makes the statement that Jesus spake also this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they set all others at naught. It's kind of the attitude, God, look at what a fine fellow I am. And that was one of the problems, certainly, that the Pharisee had. Now then, as we look first of all at the two men, later we will consider the two prayers and then the two different set of results of this prayer or these prayers. First, we look at the two men. First, there is the Pharisee. And if there is one thing that impresses me about the Pharisee, it is pointed out in verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I think that is very interesting, and I think that it is very important that we note that particular point. The Pharisees were extremely religious men. The Pharisees considered themselves as protectors of the law of Moses. We are serving Israel. We are protecting the law of God which came through Moses. In reality, they were guilty of destroying the law of God with their practices and with their traditions. Now, there are many examples of this in the Bible, but perhaps one of the clearest is found in the book of Matthew. In chapter 15, when Jesus is coming from Jerusalem, or when Jesus was there, and there came from Jerusalem Pharisees, these very, very religious people who were protecting the law of Moses. And in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 1, "Then there come to Jesus from Jerusalem Pharisees and scribes, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? He answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?" Now then, these Pharisees had a tradition that before you ate meat, you were to wash your hands. Now, this washing of hands before they ate their meal was not for the purpose of cleansing their hands. Maybe if they'd been out working in the dirt or something and they had dirt on their hands, they probably would have cleansed that. But what they washed their hands, this was a tradition for purification. And if you did not clean your hands for purification purposes, then you violated the tradition of the Pharisees, and of course you were unclean. Now they had a very specific order in which they did this. They would take water, and the least amount of water that you could use was about a log of water, and that would be enough water to fill an eggshell and a half. And this water could not be used for anything else. It had to be dedicated. In other words, you couldn't go out to the well and pull a bucket of water and take it inside and drink part of it and maybe pour some out in a dish to do some cooking. Because if you did that, then you defiled it, and it was not any good. So what you had to do was to take water, draw it, and you could use it, but only for that specific purpose. They first would take the water, and they would pour it on their hands, and they would hold their hands up that the water might run down the hands and cleanse it. If you cleanse one hand, then you could take it after it had been cleansed, and you could rub the other hand, and you could cleanse it with the cleansed hand. And then they took additional water, and they put it on their hands, and they held their hands down so the water would run down off of their fingers. Now, the second washing was for the purpose of cleansing the hands of the first water that had touched the undefiled hands. Now, if you'll stop with me for just a moment, you can realize the foolishness of this. Because if you washed your hands for purification with the first water, and then you used a second water to cleanse the hands from the water that had touched the defiled hands, it seems to me like that you would have to wash them a third time to cleanse them from the water that touched the defiled water that touched the defiled hands. And then you're going to have to go one step further. And you're going to be in something, and that's the way usually it is when we raise up a tradition that is violating the law of God. So they had these traditions, and they were very, very careful to be able to follow them. You remember on one occasion that Jesus told them as he rebuked them, he said, strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. And that was what Jesus was referring to, was their hypocrisy. You know, they were so, so careful about the small things. And then they could gulp down a camel without even batting an eye. On another occasion, remember Jesus says, you tithe men and ants and coming, and you leave undone the weightier laws of matters of the law, like justice and love. The small things, boy, they were very, very careful. But when it came to the big things, then they were hypocritical. So the Pharisees then were very, very careful with their traditions, and they also violated the law of God with their traditions. Continue reading with me now in the 15th chapter when Jesus said in verse 3, and he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God because of your traditions? For God said, now I want you to notice that. God said, honor thy father and mother, and he that speaketh evil of father or mother, let him die the death. That is, they were to be stoned to death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, that wherewith thou mightest have been profited from me is given to God. He shall not honor his father and mother, and you have made void the word of God because of your traditions. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, but in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrine the commandments or the precepts of men. Now then, if you will turn to the 7th chapter of the book of Mark, it is further explained there, beginning in verse 7. You know, the Jews, God said, you shall honor your father and mother, but the Jews came along and said, now, if you give everything to God after you have died, then you don't have to give it to your mother and father while you're upon this earth. You can declare korban. And that's what it is referred to in Mark chapter 7 and verse 11. So they had a tradition. Lord, I'm going to give you everything that I have when I die is to go to the temple. And they said, oh, if you're going to do that, then you don't have to take care of your father and mother. God said, honor your father and mother, which involved taking care of them, but their traditions allowed them to circumvent the command of God. And therefore, in the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus said, why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? So the Pharisees were traditionalists. Now, I want you to understand this evening that there is absolutely nothing wrong with this word tradition. It simply means something that's handed down. The Apostle Paul wrote and spoke to Christians about the tradition that he gave them. Well, what did Paul hand down to them? 1 Corinthians 14:37, Paul said, the things that I have spoken unto you, they are the commandment of God. And so there's nothing wrong with this word tradition. It's only when the human traditions get in the way of God's Word that you've got a problem, and that's what happened here. So the Pharisees were great traditionalists, and they were considered at the top of the social ladder. Then we look at the other man. The other man who is mentioned in this parable in Luke chapter 18 was a publican. The publican represented the Roman government. The publican was an individual who collected the hated Roman taxes. There was a certain tax that was set aside against the people. The publicans would contract with the Roman government, and they would collect that tax, and of what they were able to collect, they kept a percentage of it. The publicans had a notorious reputation of being crooked, of being dishonest. They were considered as a traitor, as an outcast. They were the low man on the social pole or the social ladder or register. They were hated by the Jewish people. And you can just stop and think about this man as he was a Jew, a representative of the Roman government, and people would come to him, and he would go through their things and set a value on it and set a tax. And they could set anything that they wanted to. And I read of one story and some of the non-inspired writers of that time, how an individual might be coming along in a buggy and a fine horse, and he comes to this toll place in the road, and when he left that, he'd be driving a mule and no wagon, because that was the tax. They were notoriously dishonest. There were a few that were honest. Zacchaeus, you remember, was an individual who was a tax collector, and he says, if I have wrongfully extracted from any man, I will repay it fourfold. So there were some honest ones, but by far and large, the publican, the tax collector, was a thorn, a big thorn in the side of the Jewish people. So now then, as we start our study of this parable, we notice immediately that there are two men who are involved in this study. One is at the top of the social ladder. The other man is at the bottom. Two men, different in the eyes of the people. One who is a servant of God and a savior of the law of Moses, and the other almost an enemy of his neighbors. Then we come to the two prayers. The Pharisee's prayer, much of his prayer was what I refer to as negative goodness. He found pleasure and a sense of accomplishment in the things that he did not do. He said, God, I thank thee that I'm not like the rest of men, an extortioner. Lord, I am not an extortioner. I am not unjust. I am not an adulterer, and I'm not even like this publican. And this is what I refer to as negative goodness. Now, here he does not talk about the things that he does for the kingdom of God. And he further begins some statements. He said, I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I give. In a sense, these things were negative because they were not things that were positive accomplishments. They were simply things that he had given up. So you might say that his prayer is one that is negative from the word go, or from the word God. I thank thee that I'm not like other people. I'm not like other men. And he talks about his goodness. The Pharisees' prayer was a prayer of pride. I'm not like other men. Look at me, God. I'm special. This man had eye trouble. And in these two very short verses, he uses the word eye five different times to lift himself up and to make sure the Lord understood that he was different from all men. He didn't ask a petition of God. He didn't ask a blessing. As you read this, you notice that he did not ask pardon for sin, and I'm quite confident that the reason he didn't is because he did not identify any sin in his life. He did not ask for divine strength. He did not ask for God's guidance. He saw the publican, realized his condition, and he did not even pray for the publican. He just simply said, God, I'm thankful that I'm not like him. And to say the least, when you read these words, you come to a knowledge that this man had a problem. He really did. He didn't ask anything for himself because in his own eyes, he needed nothing. And one of the great tragedies of this prayer is that this man did not pray for the publican who may have needed his prayer. But he did not pray for the publican, but he used him to elevate himself. One of the great tragedies that we have in our society today is the need that some people feel to elevate themselves over others, and to be better than they are, and to condemn an individual or tear down an individual to make themselves look good. Certainly, that is a sin of the heart. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to appreciate each other. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be able to appreciate a man who has a greater ability that we might have, and thank God for his greater ability and his willingness to use it in the kingdom of God for the glory of Jehovah God. So then we have the Pharisee's prayer. Lord, I'm glad I'm such a fine fellow. And I'm sure thankful that I'm not like this man sitting here. I'm not like that publican. I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful for it. Then we have the publican's prayer. The publican is in trouble, and he needs help. And I know he needs help because of the prayer he prayed. The publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be thou merciful unto me, a sinner. Now the publican recognized that there were things in his life that were not approved of God. He recognized that he needed help. He also recognized that the mercy that he needed was available from Jehovah God. And that's the reason he said, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Here was a man that had his head on straight, we might say. He knew of his need, and he knew that he needed help. I was looking at this passage of Scripture in the text where it says, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. Now you may, your Bible, your translation may have a footnote to that, but in the Greek text, the word sinner has the article. And it would cause this passage of Scripture to read like this, God be merciful to me, the sinner. So this man recognized his need, and he knew the place to go to have this need answered. You know, you think about prayers. You think about the prayer that the publican prayed, and then you think about the prayer that the Pharisee prayed, and you realize that the publican prayer, it is only a prayer of seven words. That's all. God be merciful to me, the sinner. Seven words. So we have the two men, we have the two prayers, then we have the two results. One came self-centered, a sinner, and left the same. Have you ever thought about that? The Pharisee, here was a man that was a sinner. Here was a man who really needed to talk to God, who really needed the mercy of God. And he came as a self-centered sinner, and he left the same. I wonder if there's a lesson in that for us. Is it possible for us to come to the worship services of the Lord's church and leave not having worshiped God? Now, the Pharisee came into the house of God for the purpose of praying unto God, and he came a self-centered sinner, and he left in the same state because something wrong with him. I wonder if we come into the worship services of the Lord's church and possibly do not participate in the singing or in the prayer or in the study of God's Word, but we have other things that are more important to us as we sit in the assembling of the saints together. You know, if we do not worship while we are here, then we do not leave the building as a worshiper. Same thing's true about the Pharisee. He came and he prayed and he left with the same need that he had before he came. The Bible said that he prayed with himself. That is very, very revealing. He prayed a powerless prayer. He prayed a useless prayer. And the reason he prayed a useless prayer was because of his attitude toward himself and toward Almighty God. One came as a sinner and left justified. He needed to go to the place of prayer. He needed to pray unto God. He needed to go to the temple and he needed to pray. He needed to make things right. He came for the purpose of not telling God what a fine fellow he was, but he came to the temple to establish a right relationship with God. Now what happened? The Bible says, as we read the last verse again, following the prayer of the publican, "And I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other." The publican went down to his house justified rather than the Pharisee. "For everyone that exalteth himself shall be humbled, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Two men, two prayers, and two different, distinct results as far as the prayers were concerned. The publican prayed like the psalmist in Psalm 40 and verse 12. From the inspired words of David, the Bible says, "For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart fails me." The psalmist says, "My iniquities are so heavy upon my heart that I cannot look up." Doesn't that remind you of the publican who stood afar off and he smote his breast, not even looking up into heaven, but said, "God, be merciful unto me, a sinner." You know, I've often thought, what does it mean when it says that the publican stood afar off? You will notice that in verse 13, "But the publican standing afar off." And I read something that was written by an individual who was discussing this parable. And he said that in all probability, when the Pharisee came into the temple to pray, that he came just as close to the altar that he could possibly get. And then the publican, when he came in, he stood far off, away from the altar. And he was so humbled by his undone condition that he would not even lift his eyes into heaven, but smote himself on the breast and asked God to forgive. But then again, the publican prayed like Ezra. In Ezra chapter 9 and verse 6, "Oh my God, I am too ashamed and humiliated to lift up my face to you, my God. For our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has grown up into heaven." So the psalmist and Ezra, the great man of God, felt the weight of sin so great upon their soul, and they were so humbled by it and realized that they had failed their God, that they would not even lift up their eyes unto heaven, but pled with God to take their sins and to remove their sins from them. Someone once wrote, two men went to pray, or rather say, one went to brag and the other to pray. One stands up close and treads on high, where the other dare not send his eye. One nearer to the altar trod, the other to the altar's God. I think that's very appropriate and describes the concept of the two men who went up to the temple to pray. Perhaps the greatest lesson that we have in this for us this evening is to realize that when we worship God, our hearts must be in tune with the God of the universe. To realize that we must have the proper attitude in our worship unto God. And what a great opportunity it is, together with the people of God, together with the church in the place of assembly, and there declare unto God how great He is, not how great we are, but how great He is and how thankful we are for His gift, the gift of eternal salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have the privilege of approaching the throne of Almighty God as your Heavenly Father? Can you pray as a Christian tonight through our one Mediator, Jesus Christ, and come into the very throne room of Jehovah God? You know, there is a passage of Scripture in the book of Hebrews that describes this, I think, in a very beautiful way. He says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, "Let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and might find grace to help us in the time of need." As a child of God, we can boldly walk into the throne room of the creating God, and there we can converse with Him and we can pray to Him through our Mediator, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful privilege. What a tremendous blessing to be able to enter the throne room of God by the avenue of prayer. And I would encourage you to render obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you might, to be a Christian, one must totally give himself unto Jehovah God. It takes faith. The Bible says that the man that does not believe is condemned, damned eternally. It takes repentance. Turning from one's sin and turning under the way of God and confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God. Being baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. Being cleansed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. We then are added to the spiritual family of Jehovah. And as a member of the spiritual family of Jehovah God, we have the privilege and the blessing of prayer along with many other spiritual blessings which are in Christ Jesus. What a great privilege it is to be a Christian.